But before I begin, when I got the sheer, it was the last year on Shabbos, I was asked to talk more generally about, ask the questions. So if it's appropriate, today being the first sheer after Pesach, may have questions of it, which came up over Pesach. Let's start with that before I discuss something on the Daf Hayom.
Related to Daf Yomi or related to life in general?
Eruvin, Pesach, whatever. Yeah. 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 I asked the question they want to discuss. I was told that it's an appropriate forum. Yes,
it's a little bit connected to today's Daf.
Yes.
But what's the hetter for Kohanim nowadays to live on Chutzparetz?
That's a good question. It's an excellent question. Is there a Kohen in the room? Baruch Hashem, we say what we want. It is a question, but the truth is, if you ask me, I don't want to say this.
Should I turn it off?
It's okay. I'm just saying it as not as a halacha l'maisa. If you read about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, the Asra Kadisha, there's so many problems of tumah in Eretz Yisrael today because the land is smaller. You know, it's supposed to be Eretz HaTzvi. You know, it's supposed to reach to. Right now, the land is pretty small. Wherever you go there, Kvar, you begin to wonder. For a Kohen, statistically, wherever he walks in Eretz Yisrael, there's a smaller or greater chance of bumping into a Yiddish OL. Because what the Yiddish Gemara talks to me about Heset. Because in those days, they could kick, you know, the Pesa Pras, there was this bones. You ever see bones anywhere? I never see any bones walking anywhere. I don't see bones. It's special. You're walking on Kvara, but that's OL. And all may quote the many possibles only by Yisrael and by Yonachar. You begin to wonder what the greater chance of encountering Tumah if he's driving to Male Adumim. If you know what I'm talking about, there's some of the roads there, some of the places where it's unquestionable. Or even around the old city of Yerushalayim. Or if he's down in the, I don't know, somewhere in the middle of nowhere in the Chutzah. I don't know. Statistically, I don't know anymore at this point. But there is an issue of Tumas Eretz Amen. The Poskim talk about it, and they have Shvachat Terutzim. Kohanim. But Shechler, she doesn't like that at all. He thinks that that's just, you shouldn't rely upon it. Those who want to rely upon that for school is who they can marry. It's only Kohanim Chazaka. He's always been resistant to that line of reasoning. It's for other things, not to be Mekel and then Yisuri Kuhuna. I don't have any really very good answers, except I'm just mentioning as an aside, if you want to be statistical, I wonder these days, you know, assuming again that the Akum was not Matami of Yo'el, which is certainly at least a Shita, which is one Shita Mechaba. Mechaba pass seems to pass in the way Mikra Adin. So, I didn't leave me at that. Any other questions?
Yeah, how do you feel about Yom HaShoah, which is in
the Yom HaShoah? I have a story. I have a Yom HaShoah story.
Yeah.
My neighbor was against it completely.
You mean the Rav?
The Rav, completely against it. I was almost the 20th yard side of the Rav, so why didn't the Rav on the week of the command the 20th yard side? Boy Bayon, I got Lichmash as a Malkimi Baboyas. Rav. The Rav was opposed to Yom HaShoah. The Rav, I heard it from his mouth. He said, we have Yom HaShoah? It's called Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is Yom HaShoah. Because Tisha B'Av, we have commemorated all the Chuppah. Look at the Sefer Kinas. You read about the Crusades, and you read about they burnt the Sfarim in Paris, and other terrible events throughout. And the Rav is the quote, I think it's from the King of Shalit's Guf Abesh, which is by Marami Rutenberg. It's not Stamp's poet. God Lador. I believe it's next. I don't remember clear if it's that one, but I think it's in that one, where he says, because we shouldn't aim Lel and Lahosif, we shouldn't add another day. So therefore, we commemorate this burning of the Sifrei HaTalmud in Paris in 1242 on Tisha B'Av. I believe it's in that kina of Marami Rutenberg, who was a Gadol Hador. It's a lesser python, I don't know, it still have weight, but I think it's in that one. So he felt the same way, and it's a Rashi Dirayam about it. And if I'm not mistaken, when Prime Minister Begin was here, he came to visit YU, and I think it was 1977 or 8, as soon as he was elected, and he came to speak to the Rav about this. Not a mistake. I mean, I wasn't, you know, one of the B'nai Bias in the Rav's house. I can't, but that's how those were the rumors going around at the time. And he asked him, so he gave him this answer, the Rashi Yirei Amin. And later I said, the Brisker Rav said the same thing. Shalolo Mars, Chodesh Nissen. Chodesh Nissan is a time to have memorials. Why they call it the Chodesh Nissan? Because of in the Israeli Knesset, there was a fight. Some wanted to make an Erev Pesach, because of the, you also get an uprising, which was Pesach, Erev Pesach. Some wanted it to be Yom Ha'atzmaut, or before Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom HaZikaron there. They made a parliamentary compromise. They split the difference. They made Chav Zayin. Chav Zayin is, well, that's the way you were passing halachas. So therefore, originally, the Rabbanut was against Yom HaShoah. They hadn't said Yom HaKadosh HaKlali. It was still, then if people died in the war, there was no yard sites, no graves, nothing. It wasn't a Kaddish for the they made a Sarba tapes. When I was talking in the Karim B'Yavna, a Sarba tape was Tavshin Chav Zayin. So they go to him, a very beautiful and inspiring shmooze about it. He said, Kaddish HaKlali, it was a big deal. But that was overtaken as the years went by the politicians to beat out the Rabbanus. They don't even know the Yom Kaddish HaKlali anymore. Now it became Yom HaShoah. So I'm not curious the whole thing. Remember, my story goes as follows. There was a very fine woman who was involved in the local shul, where the Jewish center had this Yom HaShoah event. And I got a call from her one year. A woman I still know, very fine woman, no longer lives in Riverdale. Her kids learned by me in the interim. Would the young Israel like to participate in Yom HaShoah in this fashion or in that fashion? That was it was very nice. She wanted to be accommodating to me. I said, we don't come to Yom HaShoah. It was such a silence on the phone on the other side, as if I had said, we don't keep the X number of Aseret HaDibros or something like that. It came like, Aseret HaDibros Yom HaShoah. My, surely we do not go with it. This year, they moved it from Sunday to Monday. What is this? The patch got around. They moved it from Sunday to Monday. Yom HaShoah is Chav Zayin. It's no Kedush Tzayon. So they moved it to Monday. Why do it to Monday? They did it for, they have a reason for it. Because Leil, Yom HaShoah, in Eretz Yisrael, they have certain tekes. If you do Leil HaShoah and Motzei Shabbos, go to Shabbos. For the same reason, next week, they moved Yom HaTzvot from Monday to Tuesday. Why? Monday to Tuesday. What's on Monday? No. Because Erev Yom HaTzvot, Yom HaZikaron. And Leil Yom HaZikaron is the tekes. It's in the course of Chil Shabbos. So the way that Rabbi Nut has it now, the only time that Yom HaTzvot can come out in the day is only if it's on Wednesday. That's it. Every other time it's postponed, it's delayed, it's moved up, it's moved back. Why should we not Goris then? We have Yom HaTzvot on Monday next week. We are Goris once the Shabbos on Friday, move back to Thursday. That's the halachic precedent for that. When they brought the Shuvahs in the old years, 60 years ago, they had, if time is Esther, or whatever, can't come out on Shabbos, move back to Friday, move back to Thursday. There's a precedent for that. Kriyas and Megillah, But to move from Monday to Tuesday, because Motzei Shabbos was the day before. I know where they're coming from, but anyway, that's a very, very popular psak in my shul, one of my popular psak. You miss that tachna on Monday instead of on Tuesday. Any other questions for you? Yeah.
On Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, there's a lot of agadah. One of them is where Rabbi Akiva wanted to wash before having bread and he didn't have enough to wash or drink. Mm-hmm. It's in the middle of the page somewhere.
Right.
And he said,
exactly.
So
it's
an agadah, but it goes into the halacha of, are you allowed to commit suicide and not be over in Avera de Rabbanan?
Chas v'chalila, you can't commit suicide even if it was by Avera de Rais.
Right, so what does this mean?
Okay. This is I don't think he really meant it in the literal sense. I don't think so. Don't think that it was meant in the literal sense of him to actually die. Very often, agadot is, I was trying to make a point. The Rambam writes about agadot is that someone who discounts agadot is an apokoros. But someone who takes every agadah literally is a shayt. That's the famous mind of Roman Rambam about the agadahs. It should not be taken all literally. Which is, of course, now these days, a dangerous statement. They call me an apokoros for sake of calling the Rambam or Rav Roman Rambam. They deny he ever said it. And Rav Hirsch wrote certain things, they deny he ever said that. That's a whole topic unto itself. But the simple shot is it doesn't mean almost literally. And you wouldn't be allowed to do that even for Chazak, Kavachomer from Tilos Adai. Any other questions? No? Okay, so I'll talk briefly because the time is half up. I want to talk a little bit about Chazak, Shliach, also Shlichusa. Just a last sugi on this stuff, on that flower and off the base. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Shliach, Eruvo, Lefkei, Shadu, Bekatan. So then, Eno, Eruv. Ramal Lachal, Kabul, Mimeno, Areza, Eruv. Says the Gemara in the first wide line of Maran Alpha base. For Lecha Shtimah lo Mamtilet. Should be afraid the Shliach didn't do his job. Right. The Gemara says, Viro Eil. He says, Shtimah lo Shabbat Minei. No. The Gadol, what to my Gadol? Chazak HaShliach also Shlichus. What's it? Rashi says, lo Marav Lei Afal Pidu Yiftichu. He didn't keep his word. No. Chazak HaShliach also Shlichus. Okay, fine. The Hechet Merav Chista, Rabbi Yechiel, that's the Tekorah of Chista, Rabbi Chista, Rabbi Yechiel. Ahadi, but the Tanya. Nost on the Pil, Olicho Lekov, Olicho, Ein Zeyev. Am Le'achal Lekavlo, Emeno, or Zeyev. The Dimel Amantele, on Rav Chista, the Omer Roy, the Lom Kalamene, on Rabbi Yechiel, Chazak HaShikos HaShikusa. Om Rav Nach, Bishel Torah, Ein Chazak HaShliach, Osa Shlichus, or Rashi, Kolomar, you can't rely on the chazak of shlichusa when it comes to a din d'oraisa. This is very problematic in certain areas, which we shall see soon. Bishal sofrim chazak of shliach also shlichusa. Rashi samchin aches la shliach dinami lo aved lo chamei surah kol erev tchumin. Not so bad. They didn't do it. Rashi shesamar echazeh vechazeh chazak of shliach also shlichusa. And this is based upon Yonah Diyoma, the Shakar of Omer with the Rechodosh, Viad, Rechogam Chatzos Yom Ve'elach, Chodosh Doraisi, Rechotana Rechogam Lutar Mechadosh Yom Ve'elach, Nam Chodosh Yom Ve'elach, Nam Chodosh Yom Ve'elach, Nam. No, it's different. Ein Bezdin is Atzlimbo. Bezdin is different. Okay, I'm going to give another series of rias back and forth. How are we passing Aloha Lamaisa in this Shiloh? So Tosfos says, "I'm not a base of Rav Nach or Rav Yehuda Shimshon, you plur posek Rav Sheshes. The Bahag posek Aloch Rav Nachman, Bedin Rav Sheshes Bisuri. So Rav Sheshes says, you can rely on Aloch Chazak or Shlichusa Shlichusa. Rav Yehuda near Aloch Aloch Rav Nachman. Why? Another Gemara, which we'll see soon the connection to Pesach too. Gittin Son of Dalit. Omar Baal again. Baalam of the Gerushin." You can't marry any woman. Why? Maybe this shliach married her sister, so you can't marry shtei achoyos. I will kula lo. So must say you only rely upon the chumra, but not. Not Lakula, and in Shchul Yudbe is the same thing. Ein Chazak Ashliach also Shlichusa. Okay? That's all the Gemara seems to say the Maskana, that you don't rely upon it, Lakula. So the reason is it's not right. Why? Ibrahim Sheshes, let's say Chazak Ashliach Shlichusa, El Mabakum, Shem Lo Yaseh Shlichusa, Yova Mishaleach Ede Avera, Yimis Mabalot. Oh, yeah. You have to do it. L'chein beget, ein ha-shliach choshesh liten get, hi d'chul ha-name ein ha-choshesh l'shkot l'trom, shem l'yitrom, yirem ha-shaleach shen ha-torim, l'asch ha-dai l'shem ha-achar, yishma v'yitrom, etc., etc., etc. That's his yisom. What do with Pesach? Arami oved ovi. What's the chat? Arami oved ovi. How does the Baal HaGadol understand the words?
Try to destroy
my father. That's not the Pasha Pshat in the words. Arami Oved Avi, the Ibn Ezra's Pshat, refers to Avram Avin. Our father was a wandering Aramaean. The Rav Zichron de Racha, that's how his master, Dr. Belkin, is also in Pesach. He said Arami, he was a wandering Arabic. He was a wandering Aramaean that came as a Yosef from Europe to America. He had a whole. But Baal HaGadol understood that. Lover wanted to destroy us. Where do we find this? Where do we find Arami Oved Avi that Lavan wanted to destroy us, where would we find it?
Some say that when he said the line, your daughters would be my daughters, and
yeah.
your sons will be my sons, he was trying to keep them within.
Not to kill them, but to
assimilate.
Assimilate them. That's one shot. Very good. But the fancy Machabrim say that Laban wanted to kill Eliezer. Psul wanted to poison him, and Psul died. He got some ice. So, all right, so big deal. Oh, because if Eliezer had been poisoned, Yitzchak Avinu couldn't marry anybody because he can't marry Shtei Achayos at that time. So, you make a Shliach, you never know. That's the whole Sukkim Masechta Gittin. It's also Pesachic. That's a whole Shver Shtei Gittin for other reasons. I'm not going into right now. Bottom line, it's a Shaila whether Yitzchak Azak Ashliach Azak Shlichuso, Lekula, in the Din Daraisa, in a case in which, if you didn't do it, the person's going to do. The Mishalech will be over and over. Wisdom Benichos Pesach. Sure. First makes a rov a shliach to sell the chametz. How you going to sell the chametz? Cool. Did everyone call the rabbi at 10:30 or whatever, it's 11 o'clock? They're paying for money. Did you sell my chametz? Did you sell my chametz? Talk of kasha. Someone says it's like a bezin. But it's hard to say that because you're only appointing one Rav, even though the Rav may do it together with other Rabbanim, and Ribbit that we do a Chiyus Chametz with many, many Rabbanim, but the person only appointed me. The simple answer to that question is as follows. After a person sells the Chametz, he's supposed to burn the Chametz. Ideally, the burning of the Chametz should happen after the sale. So he was supposed to, But once you sold the chametz, you sold it to a guy. So when I sell my chametz, I have a bag with me, 10 crumbs, the night before. I say to Mr. Brown, Mr. Brown, so we sell it, Mr. John Brown. Mr. Brown, these 10 crumbs in the bag, I'm not selling to you. And there are many other people who have 10 crumbs in their bags. They want to keep me out of the sale because they want to burn it when it still belongs to them. Mr. Brown says, fine. So you're supposed to sell the chametz, and then you're supposed to burn the chametz. And after you finish burning the chametz, what do? Bittul chametz. So bittul chametz is the last resort. Could be the burning didn't work. I kid you not. You put it into the fire and it doesn't get to the inside. I'm not so sure these fires even work. I'm very scared of these fires because they put bread into the fire and it's toast. They have toast. And instead of having the outside is toast or maybe it's char, but inside may still be edible. So I can't completely rely upon I'm serious. I try to burn the whole thing through and through. I try to give soft bread from the previous night. People throwing bagels. You're throwing a whole bagel into the fire. The inside is still chometz mamish, edible. It's terrible. Though. So you can't rely upon the burning. Even if you throw it into a fire in front of you, can't rely on it. And the sale, I rely upon the sale. Maybe you didn't mean it. You didn't know, whatever. This mechir won't work. The last resort is bitter. Worst case scenario, what do we say? The bitul by day. What do we say? The chazite, the lo chazite, the biyarte, the lo biyarte. Everything is the bottle of the kafkar. That's on the rice level, takes care of everything. Even tintaloma, the mechir was not done. You're not really going to be nichshel in the rice. This rice will be taken care of by the bitul. That's why you can rely upon the rub. But, without attempt.
So then what's the point of the selling in the first place? Might as well just rely on bittul.
No. If you have a vatel chametz, it's also you have to pesach. The mefurish of mecham. Basically, Rishon. Because they're afraid it doesn't really mean it, whatever it is. The mefurish of Rishon.
What's the point of the bittul then? Then when, once you sell it.
Level the rice, if bittul takes as a failsafe. That's your last resort. You can't rely upon it because for many reasons. You don't need to mean it. And the rabbana asked about the other even if you only did a bittul and you found the chametz afterwards. Then before it's in the top and chess. But as a better reason, which I love this other reason. So you can't, I cannot rely on the rough. You can't rely on the shliach. It's not a rice of shem. But if you pay him money, that's yad pol ki yad balabais. Yad pol ki yad balabais, then you can rely. So the briska machmirim, make sure to pay the rough, because they don't want to trust them to sell the chometz unless they give him money. So I can't complain. The rov in the shul, if the person wants to give me a few dollars. When I first started the Rabbanus, I refused to take one red cent from Mechiras Chutz, not a penny. I don't want people to think that I'm in the job to make money. I wouldn't take a cent. And I realized afterwards, number one, people want to do it for halachic reasons. Number two, some people view this as part of the Rosh Chiras, as it was in certain parts of our history. Okay, I never asked for any money, but... yeah, what's
can you give a different answer that when the rabbi picks up the hat or the handkerchief or whoever, that they're transferring ownership?
Chas v'cholila. Rabbi, I want to come sell you the chametz. Say, I'm not buying any chametz. Forget it. I have enough chametz on my own. I'm not buying any chametz. You're only appointing me as a shliach. The whole idea of picking up the handkerchief is just a minig. The Rambam writes, Beferish v'chus mechira. Yesh dvarim sh'ein tzrichin kinyin ve'ein the kinyin behem tam. Doesn't even really add much. And he gives an example of making a shliach. But just it strengthens it in people's minds that there's something being done. I take appointments on fax. Can't pick up the fax machine. I want to pick up the piece of paper. The paper belongs to me because it's my paper. They fax me their paper with some kind of technology. The fax comes out of my paper. It belongs to me, so I can't pick it up. It's not there. That's supposed to pick up my paper. It doesn't work. You don't really need it because I want to end because. Two shailas came on this pace about Mechiras Chametz, which related interesting of Shlichusa. When I meet Mr. Brown, I tell him, Mr. Brown, I'm selling you the chametz of all these people. I give him the pile of authorization documents. It's very possible that somebody attempted to authorize me to sell the chametz, but it's just. It just didn't happen. The document got lost. Then his desk got lost. Then my desk got lost under a pile. The fax was sent, didn't come through. The email was sent, didn't get it. Anything of this nature, you want to sell this as well. Even though, technically speaking, we want to give you the documents which have the itemization. But as long as the person appointed the rabbi as his agent, we want you to buy this, even though we're not able to provide you with the proper documentation. Mr. Brown says, okay, that's what you want. This is good. Okay? Sure enough. My last day in yeshiva was Thursday. The last day in yeshiva was Thursday before Pesach. I was here. Thursday I was here. I said, Shir. I don't know exactly what went on home that day. It was a busy day. I had to make Shabbos and Odadrosh. It was a busy day. Came back next time, 2 weeks later, exactly, Thursday. Opening shiur, opening day, was last Thursday. My desk was clean. My desk was never clean. Erev Pesach, I cleaned my desk. I don't know what's going to be there. I come back, right in front of me, one piece of paper. Still there. One of the Talmidim filled out a shtar of authorization, authorizing me to sell the chametz. It wasn't those guys who were selling nothing. Selling groceries. Groceries. To myself, I'm not so happy that he did this. He should have really, it was not responsible of him. But at the same time, he sold. Because I told John Brown, it's exactly my John Brown scenario. So just in case, if it doesn't get this other mistake somewhere or other, we want this to be included in the sale. So I think it's chametz. I didn't call him up and tell him that his chametz is treif. If the Pesach, he has to throw it out, because I believe that in fact the B'Shas HaTchak, the sale is good, because I mentioned it explicitly. That's the good side. On the other hand, two shailas came to me. Two, not one, but two. Rav Osai. People woke up Erev Pesach in the afternoon. They forgot to report the rabbi to sell the chametz. So some rabbis make a statement. We're selling chametz to, for the whole world's chametz or something. Now, I don't do that because I think it cheapens the sale drastically. Would it work? Is the Mogen Avraham? The Mogen Avraham says, it's based on the Gemara and the Masechet Pesachim. And what's the Masechet Pesachim? That if a person is a shomer on chametz, and he waits an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, comes to the fifth hour, which is the last hour, you can't sell after the sixth hour, into the sixth hour. So fifth hour, you're supposed to sell it. Not yourself, it's not yours. So the Magen Avraham says, look, if the guy over here, he totally wants to sell it, so you have a right to sell it for him. That's a pasha pshat, it's pashas in the Gemara. You could say, that sale is not really chal. But what the sale does, it gets the chametz out of the Jew's possession into the goy's possession. You know, it's not chal, because at least the goy has it. So then maybe you wouldn't. So the b'shusa of the Jew, because he gave it over to the goy. The goy has control over it.
I'm losing that point. Right. And when it's chametz b'pesach, right. So if the sale is not good. What does it help that you transferred the chametz? I understand what that means. I understand what you're saying.
Chametz mishesh shol somala.
Right.
Even though it's ainu b'shusa, aksal akol tegila b'shusa.
Right.
That's if the ainu b'shusa is only based on the fact that the chametz is made ainu b'shusa by the Torah kedusha. If I take steps to make an ainu b'shusa, or it's really ainu b'shusa, it's not in my control. Kuvit is no by a raw, no by a matzah, no nothing.
But you were not authorized to take those steps. I'm losing.
I'm not authorized. It doesn't matter. I took the step anyway. So when they took a step anyway, so it's arguable that if the guy took actual control of it, the guy actually has it in his hand. That's the Magen Avraham's case. He has it in his hand, in that kind of a situation. So then we say that the Tzeina B'shusa of the Jew, that could be shot in that Gemara. But the Magen Avraham is quoting and extrapolates it to other cases. We're not a shomer. Stam kach. I'm stam kach for everybody. I don't want to do it because it cheapens the sale. What kind of joke is this? Okay, Shlomo. That case, it wouldn't matter when the Jew woke up. But here he woke up in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. You look on the Halacha, he quotes from the Yehuda, the Tzlach. Wait a minute. If at that point in time you give it to a guy, even if we'll assume for the moment that there was no previous sale, no one sold it en masse on the other one. Until that belonged to the Jew. Now, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I take the chametz and I give it to the guy. Here, take it. So then again, there's a machloket gedolei aposkim, shonim. Does Bayroa begin at night or at chatzos? If it only begins at night, that's not a biyuda. There's no Bayroa. By the time Shkia came, it was in the guy's hands. So therefore, the Jew didn't know it was not over Bayroa. And therefore, if the goy wants to sell it back to you after Pesach is over, so it's not an Issa Chomesh Avro Pesach. That is a possibility in this kind of a situation. They have to actually give it to the goy. Tzlach says, no, you can't just sell it to him the way we sell it to him and have him call him b'chotzer. He thinks the king of chotzer is no good. We assume king of chotzer may be good. So maybe we can actually do a mechiras chametz right then and there. Which even is eno b'shusenu, so therefore you can't sell it. It's not yours. So it won't work as a sale. It's a gift. Not that a gift I can give it to you, that's not mine. I'm just de facto giving it to you. So now it's hefker, if you will. And now the guy is calling him an hefker before Shkia. That'll be a way possibly to avoid the Yitzchak Chomesh of Pesach, these cases that I got. But very shvach, I tell you, Mr. Brewer doesn't like it too much. We'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll have another.